Hey guys, welcome back to Ponderosa Ponderers. It's me, Isaac Wilhelmy, and always,
Rockwell Peterson.
And we have two special guests today. They are
Jacob Ockbach
and Brett Blakeman.
Like they said, we have Brett and Jake in the studio today. A pleasure having you guys on the first podcast of ours that you are on.
It's good to be here.
And today's topic, we are going to talk about conspiracy theories. So, I'll let the new people take over and what they think about conspiracy theories.
Well, conspiracy theories, I mean, people are always going to be skeptical about stuff. I mean, you could feed someone information, and it's just natural that they're going to think twice about it. Like, let's say someone says, I went to the gas station, and it got robbed, and I was in there. You're obviously right away going to be a little skeptical. Mm. I think that's the big thing about conspiracy theories. People just don't believe the information that they're fed.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. That's a pretty good way of putting it. How about you, Brett?
Conspiracy theories, although I feel like a lot of conspiracies are bogus, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At the same time, I feel like a lot of them can be very intriguing and subjects to look forward into, you know? Like, something that catches your eye, like for example, the Flat Earthers. Which is, like, the biggest conspiracy going on right now, which is stupid, you know? But at the same time, here's how I see it. Flat Earth, it's obviously we live on a globe, right? Planet within the cosmos of a giant galaxy and a giant supercluster, whatever, you know? We're mere morsels to the great beyond. Anyway, Flat Earthers, it's obvious that a lot of people are not going to get behind it, but at the same time, I know it sounds crazy, but I can see why people believe into it. You know?
I think part of why the Flat Earth conspiracy, at least, came about, and why a lot of conspiracy theories come about, is fear. Mm-hmm. And I think skepticism definitely plays a part, but a lot of our skepticism comes from fear. And I think Flat Earthers come from the fear that we truly are insignificant. I don't think they want to accept the fact that they are tiny and unnecessary and insignificant, just like we all are. Mm-hmm. We're tiny specks of dust on a giant rock that is hurtling so fast through the universe that it wouldn't even notice. You would burn up in the atmosphere, and no one would know if I set you right in front of the Earth's path while it was rotating. No one would know. There wouldn't even be a flash of light.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just gone. You're just gone. I just think that people don't want to accept that, and I can't blame them. It's a scary thing to come to terms with. Mm-hmm. Same as just death in general. It's scary for people, and so they like to believe that our universe has some sort of order to it, that it can be explained, and most of the time it can't.
Yeah.
Right. And do you think people just join the Flat Earth for the joke of being in it? Or do you think, okay, so do you think the majority of people who are in the Flat Earth Society join it for the joke of it? Or do you think they join it because they actually believe it?
I'm sure there's some that join it for the joke, but
I know it goes both ways.
Most all of them probably believe it.
Do you think so?
Like, if you've ever seen videos of Flat Earthers, like, debating on globe ball Earthers, I don't know.
Real Earthers?
Real Earthers.
I believe in a round Earth.
They have that passion behind it where they actually believe. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I'm sure there's some out there who join it for the joke.
Well, I think that's important to look at with any institution, because some people will join just to troll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to make fun of it. You know, there are people that hate watch videos, but you're still watching the video. Mm-hmm. Just stuff like that, where humans are, overall, we're weird creatures. We are really, really weird creatures, and I can see the benefit to a flat Earth society, not in what they believe and their viewpoints, but in the community that it gives people. I think any harmless community that gives people a sense of purpose and reason is good. Yeah. You know, I don't have any ill will toward the flat Earth community. I don't think they're right, but the whole point of this show is, right or wrong, just express your viewpoints. Yeah. You know, let's find common ground, even if we're disagreeing, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can disagree with absolutely everything we say in an episode, but above everything else, we just want you to enjoy listening. Mm-hmm. You know, just in the Socratic fashion, we don't want to be confrontational, we don't want to offend anyone. We just want to get our viewpoint out there and let any of you guys who want to talk with us about your viewpoints.
Yeah, and hopefully it's enjoyable to you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's number one thing. But it does scare me now that the Flat Earth Society has started calling themselves the Flat Earth Army, and I think that came after they made Wikipedia that says that they have followers all around the globe.
That's you good. Played yourself. Good.
I'm just going to let that one sit for a second.
They did it again.
Yeah, they have proven themselves wrong every single time. Just every single time. Again. But there's that conspiracy theory, which I feel as if we're not the only ones to beat it to hell. So instead of beating a dead horse, let's beat a dead man, JFK.
Proper. I don't know much about this topic.
I don't know much about the JFK one either. Are you talking about who assassinated him?
Just the general conspiracy around JFK. That's the thing, is we're not focusing on any specific aspect. It's just discussing general conspiracy theories, what we know about it, and what we think of them.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay. Well, I heard that Lee Harvey Oswald was hired by the mob, or
I read Russians. Russians.
Russians or something. I don't remember. Someone who wanted JFK out of the game. But I was reading that Lee Harvey Oswald had like mob connections or something. So I don't know. I don't know much about the JFK thing. That's the only thing I've seen about the JFK.
That's fair. That's fair.
I wanted to kind of talk about the moon landing a little bit.
The moon landing? So we're going to jump straight from JFK to the moon landing. I have a couple of things to say. Do you have anything to say on JFK?
Not really. I haven't really dug deep into that conspiracy theory.
There are a couple of interesting things. I only know because I read, I think, Bill O'Reilly's book on it. And there were some interesting things, like the guy who supposedly, you know, geared him up and gave him the stuff to do it disappeared, and no one could find him after it happened. That Lee Harvey Oswald was shot by a citizen shortly after doing it. You know, they arrested him, and then he was shot before he could say anything. The fact that it was a very, very difficult shot to make from where he was, supposedly.
Yeah, and a moving car as well.
Yeah. Because it took him 3-4 shots. And headshots are hard. They really are. As well, a couple of people reported hearing shots from, you know, the grassy knoll nearby. Because they said that Lee Harvey Oswald was up in a window of a building. Somebody reported hearing shots from a different direction, basically. And JFK only died because he had his knee braces on. So everyone else in the car got down, and he couldn't, and he only wore them because the Secret Service told him to wear them that day. Which is why I'm like, I just want to cover those things quick. We can absolutely move on to the moon landing. I just wanted to make sure that we gave it its due information, due opinion. I'm not 100%. I don't mean to validate it. I just want to give all the information I know on it.
It's definitely entertaining to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really know anything about it. So.
Fair.
You know, fair. It's good to absorb. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, some of those things, like, the Secret Service made him wear his knee brace, that could imply that the Secret Service...
They were in on it.
Yeah, they're the ones doing it.
Yeah, and then the whole...
Why would they want to do it?
Well, he was a very progressive president. He caused a lot of deaths in the Bay of Pigs, where there was some CIA operatives among that bunch. Mm. You know, because he sent CIA guys to train the people for the Bay of Pigs invasion. Mm-hmm. So he basically got them really connected to a bunch of people and got some of their buddies killed and everybody that they got connected with killed in a botched attempt.
Bay of Pigs was Cuba, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Trying to get rid of Castro.
Mm-hmm.
There were some things in there that some people really didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then with the, like, other shots, like, people heard other shots, that could imply, like, there were more snipers.
Yeah.
Or the guy up in the building didn't kill him. Mm-hmm. And it was someone else. Yeah.
Because it's like the CIA ran to the grass first instead of the building, which is why Lee Harvey Oswald almost got away.
Gotcha. I mean, mm-hmm. makes sense.
But yeah, anyways, about the moon landing.
Yeah.
Oh, the moon landing. You want to start, Brett?
I want to know what everybody thinks about the moon landing being a hoax or not.
I feel like we have Brett as the expert on this one.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of stuff on the moon landing.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think the most entertaining one... Does everyone know who Stanley Kubrick is?
Yeah.
He's the director. He made The Shining, right? People say that Stanley Kubrick was the one who directed the moon landing. Because everyone's... You know, the people who think it was fake, they say it was shot in a movie studio. And they said it was directed by Stanley Kubrick. And in The Shining, what's the kid's name?
I don't remember, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, the little kid, he had an Apollo 11 shirt on. And people thought he was implying, like, a hidden message that, yeah, I am. I shot the moon landing. It's not real, but... And I've heard stuff about, you know, the shoe print not matching up with the shoe print on the moon. Mm-hmm. And there was something with the flag. The flag was moving, apparently, and, you know, there's no wind in space.
Yeah.
And just a bunch of other stuff, like the lighting...
Yeah.
On the camera was another one. I don't remember that one exactly. And,
I mean, it's very dark in space.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, very dark in space.
The lighting's gonna be messed up.
Yeah, so. It's gonna be funky.
I've heard so much crap about the moon landing.
I heard that someone saw one of the astronauts who went up on that flight outside of a bar the night that it was happening. So, like, they were playing it on the TV, and they said that they saw the dude out back of the bar, like, getting in his car.
Yeah, no, that's good. Seeing that guy go into his car, I mean, it could have been, like, a lookalike of him, but, yeah. I really want to hear Brett's thoughts about this, because he wanted to bring this up.
Okay, so, I am an anti-hoax type guy when it comes to the moon landing. Because I have one major point that I live by. Not really live by, but you know what I mean. About why I do believe that it is real. The light emitted from the sun, we don't have the technology, or we didn't have the technology back in the day to replicate it in a studio, as of all of the astronauts' shadows are casted in the exact same direction from one given light source to light up the entire studio as it did, as people believe it did, you know? And yeah, that's pretty much my main point, is that there's only one real light source that could have made that happen back in the day, which is the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. You guys, is there anything else about this topic? This one?
I mean, what would you rate the moon landing? 1 through 10, unbelievability. 10 being you believe it fully, 1 being it's a load of dog crap.
Bull. Yeah, I'll probably get it of a 9.5. Because there are some plausible points to the other side of the spectrum, you know what I mean?
Brett fully believes it.
I fully believe that the...
You believe that it was a
no,
theory.
He said that the moon landing was real, like 10. That
okay, so 10 is moon landing real, 1 yeah. is the theory oh. is real.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Jigs,
what's
your... I'd give it a 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 9.25. Yeah. Put a quarter in there, Rocky.
9 pi. Gonna be original here.
All right. 3.14.
All right. So yeah, no, those are good points of that. I kind of wanna move on to the conspiracy theory about COVID-19, coronavirus. I've heard that it was made in a lab in China. And I've also heard a very interesting point of it. So, we all know Bill Gates, yeah?
Stephen Bills.
Bill Jobs.
Bill Jobs. Anyway.
Yeah. But he has a lot of investments and owns part of most of all the like healthcare businesses trying to find a vaccine for this virus. So, I heard where it's like, he kind of created it so he can find the virus and then sell the viruses at those businesses. Those
like the vaccine.
Yeah, the vaccine businesses. Yeah. So he can get more money because he owns part of that business.
The man does not need more money.
No, but I thought that was interesting because it's just something funny to look at. I don't believe it, but...
And I do want to go in a little bit deeper on that as well.
Okay.
Bill Gates, in an interview back in, I can't remember what year, I think it was 2015, 2016.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He was talking about how the world needs a pandemic, and how Bill Gates has his hands deep into the coronavirus right now, which is a little fishy.
Yeah.
You know? I do believe that it was planned in some ways, in shape or form, because... of the way it spread throughout the U.S., it is a little fishy.
Yeah.
Because it like, California. Like, one in California, one in Wisconsin started, like, two in New York, one in Florida. Just random states. Just perfectly scattered throughout the country. It just seems a little fishy to me.
In order to reach everyone.
In order to at least attempt to reach everyone.
Yeah. Stephen Bills is playing Plague Inc. in real life right now.
And he's enjoying himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then once he comes out with this so-called vaccine, because apparently, like, a company that I don't know if he owns or, like, co-owns or whatever is working effortlessly to find the vaccine, in which the same man that said we need to thin out our numbers is distributing a vaccine,
you know? Seems like a strange shift in heart.
Yeah. In such a generally short amount of time, you know? Yeah.
So, like, what I got from you saying that is he might even have the vaccine now, but still wants to, like, thin out the population and then release it when he thinks it's good time to. That's kind of what I got from that.
It does seem a little...
theory.
A little fishy.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing to me is the way that coronavirus kills you is a cytokine storm in your body. Now, we have the technology right now to remove those cytokines to keep it from killing you. Will it still suck? Yes, but it won't overwhelm your body and kill you. We have the machines right now to do it.
But we don't.
Yeah, we're just... we're working on it. We're working on it. I know some people personally who are working on it. They're actually working with the White House, for confidentiality reasons. I can't go into who, what, when, where, why, obviously. But they are working on it. And it's also interesting when analyzing it, because the wet market that it started from in Wuhan, didn't have any of the bats that are supposed to have coronavirus on hand when it started. The closest those bats were 900 kilometers away. The wet market was about, I want to say, 15 to 20 kilometers away. Nope. From a lab that said if any of the stuff that we're working on right now gets out, it will cause a global pandemic.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing in China seems very fishy. Like, they're hiding their numbers of how many are infected and dead. Oh, of course they're hiding
their numbers, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They tried to blame the U.S. military. Mm-hmm. Said that the U.S. military caused it. They also have a one China policy where they don't recognize Taiwan as its own country. It's recognized in their minds as a rogue state. You know, it's part of China, but it's just operating as a rogue state, refusing Chinese rule.
Hmm.
Whereas Taiwan is a globally recognized country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, as a globally recognized country, the World Health Organization still hasn't accepted it as a country. And a lot of World Health Organization members have been parroting China's One China policy and a lot of things that the Chinese government says. Because there's this really chilling video, and I highly recommend everyone to go watch it. It's a WHO representative, World Health Organization representative, talking to a reporter. And the reporter goes, "Hey, I want to talk about the World Health Organization recognizing Taiwan as a country and maybe working with them." He's silent. The representative is. And then he goes, "Sorry, I didn't hear your question." And she's like, "Oh, let me repeat it." He then replies with, no, let's just move on.
Hmm.
And she goes, "Well, I'm really interested in talking about Taiwan and the World Health Organization." And he ends the video call.
Hmm.
Whoa. Yeah, that's...
Just ends it.
That is... Yeah.
Wow, she had a nerve with him.
Hmm.
Statistically, 90% of what we're going through right now could be avoided if we listened to Taiwan instead of the World Health Organization. They have one of the lowest death counts. They have a population density higher than Manhattan or Rhode Island. Almost everyone there has recovered fully, completely fine. They're basically right next to Ground Zero. You know, they're really close to China.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think a good portion of their population was infected, but only 100-something people died.
It's not bad. And
there's like 25 million people in the country.
That's not bad at all.
That's really good,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. That's why it's like, if we would have listened to them, if they would have been a part of the World Health Organization, instead of the World Health Organization parroting China, a lot of this could have been avoided.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah.
But bringing it back to China, I mean, they are no doubt. Like, I believe they are hiding numbers.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How is it possible that the virus, which started in China,
skyrocketed and then just nothing.
Stopped?
How is there more infected in the United States? I mean, when you look at Hong Kong, the people per square inch is going into the...
Oh, it's massive. It's just massive.
Yes. Tens of thousands, even more.
Mm.
I don't understand how the infection rate, the total infected that they're putting out, is so low compared to the United States.
Well, you want to understand part of the problem is that doctors have been given the ability in states like New York, and I don't know if this is countrywide, but I know for a fact it's in New York, where if you die, it's up to the doctor's discretion how to label your death.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So they can say that you died of coronavirus, even if you died of a gunshot.
Or a car wreck.
Or
flu.
Oh.
Flu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything. Yeah. And if, also, if you look at it, New York's flu deaths, for this season
have been zero.
Zero. Pneumonia deaths, zero. So you take those numbers out. Mm-hmm. Even accounting for, you know, car crashes and stuff like that that's labeled as coronavirus deaths. You take out a normal flu season and a normal pneumonia season, and the numbers we're looking at for deaths from the coronavirus is at the same rate as a bad flu season normally. Mm-hmm. It's not that deadly. It's really not. It's the media's making it scarier than it actually is.
Mm-hmm. Because fear leads to submission.
Exactly. Yeah. We covered this a bit in our pre-post world COVID-19 podcast. So if you haven't seen that, I highly recommend go watching that. Mm-hmm. We go more in depth upon authoritarianism and how we think that's going to rise after the world goes back to semi-normality after this COVID-19 outbreak. Mm-hmm. But we've already discussed that at length.
Yeah. I want to touch upon, like, the theory that I believe with coronavirus. I heard that one of the labs in China actually developed the virus and were trying to find a vaccine before America could, so that they could be just one step ahead of America. Mm-hmm. And then one of the workers accidentally got it and spread it, and that's how it started. And that's the theory I like to believe. Not from a bat, because that's just kind of ridiculous. Like, what Rocky said on how the bat was, like, about 900 meters away, and then there was a lab working on the virus, like, 20 meters away. A virus that could start a pandemic.
Not kilometers, kilometers, but yeah.
Kilometers, sorry, my bad.
No, you're good.
Meters.
Football field away.
Football field away. Yeah, that's my bad.
Those bats can't spread the virus. They're a football field away. Like, don't even start with
they're
that right
too
now.
Far.
They're a distance away, I'd say.
But yeah.
They can't fly. I mean, how far is it as the bat flies? Like, minute and a half? Oh, maybe they did spread it.
But bats are blind. They don't know where they're going.
What I think is funny is almost every century in the 20s...
In the 20s, there is a pandemic.
There is a pandemic.
Mm.
It was... can't remember... Was it in the 1520s or the 1620s that it was... Black Plague.
I think
Black
it was Plague. 1620s.
1620s.
1920s was the...
Swine flu.
Spanish flu.
Oh, Spanish flu. Swine flu was like in the 90s, wasn't it? It was more recent.
Swine flu was 2008.
Yeah.
Oh.
The recession.
Look at me go.
Yeah, like 2010. It was Obama's area.
Mm-hmm.
Obunga.
But I don't remember the 1820 or the 1720. But... There were diseases.
Yeah.
I was reading about.
Hmm.
But
no, that's interesting.
That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Like they're placing those pandemic diseases every 100 years.
Yeah, it seems a little fishy. And I just okay. It's okay to bring up
theological concepts. Yes. Yes.
Theology. I wanted to say we went to the March for Life this year, a group of us Catholics from Rapid. We hopped on a bus, drove 36 hours over to, to Washington, D.C. We went to a place called the Bible Museum, and they had a special exhibit that they change out every, like, couple months or so. I'm not sure how often they change it, but there was one the exhibit that they had for a limited time was, it touched a lot of base on the book of Revelation, and Revelation talks about just the upcoming
like the end of time,
steps to the end of time, pretty much before the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Which the rapture is a whole other conspiracy theory that
I know where you're going with this one.
In that exhibit, it touched base on the pandemic every single second decade of every century. And even in there, it's like, what's going to happen in the 20s? Like, the 2020s, you know? And it's like, is there going to be a massive virus outbreak? Or is there going to be a zombie apocalypse with a Walking Dead poster up, you know? Just to get, like, a type of idea type thing. And I even took a picture of it on my phone. I wish I could just pull it out, but 3,000 pictures, you know. It is really interesting how every... It's like clockwork.
Yeah.
Every single century during the 20th
yeah.
or the second decade that something of this sort happens, you know?
Yeah, I definitely believe that history repeats itself.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the nature of time, humanity, life itself is very cyclical. Planets rotate. People are born, they live, they die. And you'll notice a lot of things happen at similar times, partially because those are the best times for it to happen.
Yeah.
Because we almost had a World War III, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the Spanish flu in the 20s came right after World War I.
Fishy.
Someone switching it from multiplayer to zombies.
No, it's just... It's one of those things where humans are very cyclical, life is very cyclical, time is very cyclical. So, you may be right on a theological standpoint, you may not be. I'm not Catholic, so I can't speak mm-hmm. on the Book of Revelations. Ragnarok doesn't mention stuff like that, but it's also a not necessarily older religion, but it never got to survive
mm-hmm.
and evolve in the same way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely think that just looking at genetic variations in humans, it may just be that certain generations of people are more susceptible
mm-hmm.
to a pandemic. Because if you look at it, coronavirus has technically been around since like 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about as old as I am.
Mm.
And it's just been evolving yeah. since then.
Yeah, it may just be the generations that we're working with, because humans breed at about the same rate.
Mm-hmm.
Across time periods, you know, mm-hmm. accounting for some changes in it, in how fast or slow we breed, and how long we live. But just looking at it, the same generations that were affected 100 years ago are going to be our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who are actually affected by it now are going to be our ancestors. So it may just be some genetic variation every 100 years that slowly builds up and then gets wiped out by something like that. Because it's just, they're weaker.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but... I mean, the... So, with the corona... Are we all done with the coronavirus? Or do you got more to say about it?
I think I'm done with it.
Yeah, that may be, for time constraints, the last one we can... touch upon for today, mm-hmm. Unless there's any sort of lightning round ones that you want to cover quick. But overall, I think we've had some good discussions. Very happy with this. As always, thank you guys for tuning in to Ponderosa Ponderers. We'll have closing statements in a second, but just as a reminder, if you want to be on the show, or if you want to ask us questions and hear us answer them, go ahead, go onto Instagram. You can follow us at Ponderosa_Ponderers. Big news today, we just got approved for every single podcast platform except for Apple Podcasts. That is pending, but we're really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And another way to reach us is by emailing us at ponderosaponderers@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. As always, we're just ecstatic about the response. We do this because we love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what we enjoy, and just hearing from you guys is great.
Yeah, was fun.
Yeah,
that's a good time.
I'm glad. It really means a lot just having you guys come on the show. Just mm-hmm. having you guys listen at home. Just having that community, just being able to do something during this coronavirus is just, it's so empowering. It's so great. Like, I personally, cannot thank you guys enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just some more information. Like Rocky said, we are on most all platforms, and here are some I just wanted to include: Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. Those are just a few that we're on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if you're listening to us on Spotify, thank you very much. If you're listening to us on Anchor, thank you very much. And if you don't like using Anchor or Spotify, now you have those other options.
Yeah.
You can go look for us on there. You know, find whatever your favorite one is and
listen along.
Listen along. Yeah, we really appreciate it. But yeah, we'll just do some quick closing statements. Anything you guys want to say?
I enjoyed this. The last two episodes that you guys did, I think were fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, being in here, talking about this kind of stuff, it's so refreshing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should have called it Dakota Deep Talks.
That'd be a good one, too.
That would be.
But, yeah, I mean, thank you so much for letting me.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. It's great to have you guys here in the studio, and just know you're welcome back anytime you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm, of course.
Sick. Well, I had a lot of fun as well. I was a little skeptical at first. I was like, oh my god, these guys are starting a podcast, you know, but like, now getting to listen to it and having it be real, it's like,
yeah,
it's accessible, so easily accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. I look forward to being on it in the future, and yeah, I had a lot of fun, so I appreciate you guys for having us on.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that you guys enjoyed being on this, because we love having you here in the studio with us. We love having you guys on this, because, yeah, Isaac and I could probably talk about a lot of this stuff on our own, but it wouldn't be nearly as engaging, it wouldn't be nearly as interesting, and we wouldn't be doing nearly what we want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we're not trying to convince you guys of anything. We're just trying to
allow people
to express their opinions,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And if need be, have a little debate.
Yeah. I mean? Uncut, yeah. Unedited.
Screaming at each other.
Yeah. No, thanks for coming out of the studio. It's been a real pleasure, guys.
Yeah. So, as always, keep pondering.
Yes.